fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
Pass the Salt with a Coach. Dave Dobbenmeyer.
Oh, I'm working on some good stuff. I'm working on some really good stuff. I just don't know if I got the courage to, I don't know if I got the courage to swim upstream with it or not. You know what I'm talking about? Somebody once told me even the dead fish float downstream. And life really is so much easier if we just float downstream, isn't it? If we just go along with the flow and not push back and not kick back and not question and not don't question authority. That was one of the greatest things that came out of the 60s, by the way, question authority. It was not done in a righteous way. But we'd be a lot better off today, wouldn't we, if we questioned authority back in the 60s and into the 70s. And, you know, I told you I'm working on the commentary, what really happened. And to think that we let them murder John F. Kennedy in broad daylight and sold us a lie that none of us could have possibly ever believed. And here we are, right? Here we are. Question authority. So I'm working on some things that are going to make some. Here's what I want you to do when you come and join us here at Coach Dave Live. I've said this a number of times. You don't have to agree. In fact, it's better if you don't. But when the show's over, I want you to do this. I never looked at it that way. Because when we get to the point where we think we got a lock on the truth, when we get to the point where we think we have it all figured out, that's when we're setting ourselves up for trouble. I see Dr. Paul's got his hand raised already. Dr. Paul, did you want to say something? Or you just?
Yeah, I'm very pleased with my lawyers and pleased what I'm seeing. Dr. Ness is having her license suspended in Maine. I met another doctor who I went to her home to treat her. She's a good egg. And, you know, it's funny. We live in a godless society, folks. And the ones that still remember God will exist. They're working their way in the front. We're balkanizing, but we're...
Yes, sir. I couldn't agree more, Paul. We're getting ready to win, baby. We are getting ready. We've never been organized, folks. And one of the things that we're dealing with, sorry, Paul, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
I do that for a living. One of the things that we have to come to realization is, for the most part, Christians in particular, we have been taught to believe without questioning. That's really how we got in this mess. And who was it that said trust but verify? Somewhere back in my Ronald Reagan, was he the first one to say that up there? And for too long, the American church has trusted without verification. And I know this, I'm talking about my own personal salvation now. When I received Jesus Christ, when I ran to the altar that night and I received Christ as my Savior, and my life radically changed, as I like to tell people, did for me what a phone booth did for Clark Kent. It changed me immediately, changed me. And because the pastor and where I received salvation, and I'll never, I always thank God for him and the salvation and the message that he taught, my salvation as a result of it. But the fact is, I kept going back to church there, and I only learned the doctrine that he taught. I became a prisoner to what he believed. And as I got farther down the road, I thought, wait a minute, that's not what he'd said. This isn't supposed to happen. That's not what the pastor told me, right? And that's the problem we run into with exclusivity, right? My pastor said this, my pastor said this, my pastor said this. Let me tell you something, dude. Your pastor don't have it all together, all right? He doesn't have a lock on the truth. He doesn't know everything. And one of the things I love about here is we come and we throw the red meat on the table and we cut it up and we chew it up and we spit it out. You either like it or you don't like it. And you don't have to agree with me. And I tell you right up front, I don't know. I'm on a journey just like all of you guys are. This is a really, 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 let me show you, a really big, thick book. It's really, and if you think you know all of it, you're a liar. And if you think you have it all figured out, you're a liar. And I can tell you this, that many of us are believing things that people have told us about this book and never read it in there for ourselves. Mm. And that's what I try to do here every day. And then we run into this issue because then you guys go, and I don't mean it to sound, that sounded bad, because you guys get encouraged by it, and you go to people and you say, oh, you have to tune in, listen to Coach Dave. And then it becomes, here I am, here I'm the big star again, see? Here I'm the big celebrity Christian. That's not the way this thing is supposed to work.
I know.
Huh? I just divvy out. I just pass out the football. That's all I do. You run with it for a while. Here, Larry, you run with it. Here, you run with it, Mark. Here, you run with it, Randy. That's what we do here, because the Bible says that in the multitude of many counselors, we're going to figure this thing out eventually. We'll get to it. But the idea that you walk in every Sunday and have for 30 years sat in there and had the same guy preach the same thing to you, that's like living a life without an internet. Why would you do that? And I wonder how many guys, I know this to be true. I know pastors who do not get on the internet. Now, I want to ask you something. How can you possibly keep up with what's going on in the world if you don't get on the internet? And I get on the internet. I did it again this morning. I've been up a couple hours already. I've been up doing research on the internet. And sometimes I look at something and says, that doesn't make sense. I look at this, there's a little bit of truth here. And, I think I'll throw this on the table and we'll chew on this today. And maybe we can figure out this whole, which is what I'm going to do today, by the way, right? And so don't you ever tell anybody follow me. No, because baby, I'm telling you, I'm swimming too. The difference is I quit floating. I quit floating downstream and decided I was going to get out and paddle upstream a little bit and see what it was like upstream. And I can tell you this, when you're paddling upstream, you run into all those people in those life rafts who are using their paddles trying to smack you on the head because they're comfortable. Bang, they don't want to hear what you got to say. Whack, they're everywhere you go. You know I'm telling you the truth. So I'm working on this one. I'm going to shock you. And I'm going to move on. Craig, I see your hand. I'll be right there with you a second, man. Promise. See, this is what happens to me. I have something already planned, and then I get down here, and then an anointing hits me, and then I don't know what to do with it. So I'm trying to run with it, okay? I'm going to tell you something, folks. Just going to ask you a very simple question because I'm working on this, okay? I've become convinced for quite some time. I'm sitting down. You don't go to heaven when you die. You go to sleep. Lazarus, when they raised Lazarus from the dead, what did Jesus say? He's not dead. He's sleeping. Sleeping. Remember, we live in a time-space continuum. Folks, there is no time outside of where we are. When we get into the spiritual realm, there's no time there. The only reason we have time here is because we have the sun and the moon and the rotation. Whether it's flat or not, Bob, I don't know, whatever. You know, that's the only reason we have time here. We measure the days. We measure the hours. We measure it. There is no time outside here. So for us to stop and think that somebody would die and simply sleep, don't know about you. I slept about 8 hours last night, 7.5 hours last night. Do you know there were people out working last night for 7.5 hours? While I was sleeping, they were working. My world didn't change because they worked. I'm working on this, folks, because our theology, this stuff, it should be exciting to us. I want to know the truth. I don't want to believe something just because Grandpa Charles told me that's what it was. Or some 6-foot icicle told me when I was 7 years old. I don't want to believe that. Let me plant this and then I'm going to move on. If everybody's in heaven, what happens at the great white throne judgment? When he saw all great and small standing before him, and the books are opened, and everyone's judged out of the things that are written in the book. Well, wait a minute. How can that happen if they're already in heaven? You mean to tell me they got to heaven and then the judgment came and then they got thrown out? Oh, I'm going to get into it. Not today. I think it's good to know. I think it's good to know myself. You say, well, coach, what about the guy, the thief on the cross? Jesus said to him, this day you will be with me in paradise. Yeah, he did say that, didn't he? And where's paradise? And what's paradise? What is all that? Oh, okay. I'm getting way down the road. Wasn't really where I wanted to go. Go ahead, Craig. I'll let you in. I'll let Larry in too, because I shouldn't have brought it up yet. Go ahead, Craig.
Well, I just go on to your first point is what the Gutenberg press did with that invention back in the 1400s led to the Martin Luther Revolution of 1517. Right. And truly, a good pastor, a good teacher, anyone won't try to tell you what to think. They'll teach you
how to think and how
to read the Bible to give you the breadcrumbs, the background, so that you can start to read it and let the Holy Spirit fill in the blanks.
Amen, Craig. That's what I said, man, huh? And I'm going to tell you something. Let's just take a doctrine, okay? Let's take the doctrine of predestination, let's say. I don't want to get into the argument about it. Folks, it's either true or it's not. There ain't no middle ground. Once saved, always saved. It's either true or it's not. There ain't no middle ground on that. Rapture, no rapture. There ain't no middle ground on it. It's true or it's not true. And if we look, we're all divided over what? These doctrines that certain men believed and built a church around that doctrine. You're allowed to come here. This is a doctrine-free zone. We won't hit you over the head if you say something controversial. We won't hit you over the head if you introduce a thought that we had never thought about. Promise you, we won't do that. And I believe that by doing that, by asking questions, people grow. That's why Jesus Christ, if you just follow, go to the red letter part of it, and you're going to find out Jesus didn't spend a whole lot of time lecturing them. He asked questions. Have you not heard? Have you not understood? Right? Because why? It's the asking of the question rather than blind faith. Sometimes you have to have blind faith, but it's the asking of the question that solidifies the truth inside of you. Oh, man, man, oh, man. Wouldn't you think if we're all one body, we'd all believe the same? I think, well, come on, Larry, come on in. I'm trying to get someplace. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, where it says Jesus said to him this day. He didn't. There was no punctuation from the Greek that was translated from. We know he didn't mean you're going to see me in heaven today, because we know Jesus descended into the.
He didn't go to heaven. He didn't go to heaven.
He said unto him this day, and when he was talking to him, he said, "You will see me in heaven."
I'm telling you this day. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, that's right.
He didn't say, "Hey, I'll see you there in a few hours. I'll meet you and we'll go out and get a cup of coffee." That's not what he said, right? Because Jesus didn't go to heaven. He descended into hell, if that's what our theology teaches us. Come on in, Myra.
Good morning, saints. How you all doing? This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is definitely a doctrine-free show, and it's so wonderful every morning. And I love seeing you all. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Me too. You can raise your hand right now if somewhere or sometime during the course of this show, the Holy Spirit confirmed to you through this show something you always knew, but nobody taught it to you. Go ahead. You can raise your hand. And say, oh, yeah, that's me. That sure happened to me. Yeah, it happened to me. I sit right here. I hear some of the things you guys say out there. Say, oh, my God, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, now that makes sense. Now it makes sense, Lord. Okay, now I get it, right? And so one of the things I want to dive into, golly, they're lining up. Hang on here. Look, here's if there is such a thing, if there's such a theme of today's show, the theme is, was Jesus a pacifist? That's the theme of today's show. We're going to get into that. Randy, come on in, then Paul, then Bernie.
Yeah, Coach, I'll give you an example of how far off we are on a lot of our interpretations over time. You know, the verse Myra just read, you know, we read that, oh, today's the day God made. I'm going to be happy. You know, the context of that, it has nothing to do with us today or me. It's the day God came to the earth. It's the day Jesus Christ, his first advent, Coach. If you read it in context, it's all prophetic of the coming of Christ and what he would do. So, you know, here, that's just an example. You know, we read, and I'm not against, I read and study all the time, but the point is, when you realize, hey, I think I've been on the wrong track on that for the last 20 years, you have to say, okay, now let's get to the truth, because it takes time. Sometimes it takes that long to get to the truth, you know, and if we're settled and done, we'll never come to the full knowledge of the truth. So that's just an example.
So, Randy, the scripture says, I think it's in Romans, no, it's not Romans, Corinthians, maybe it says, foolish and unlearned questions do avoid. Foolish and unlearned questions avoid, meaning what? If you don't know what you're talking about, stop talking about it. And if you don't know what you're talking about, quit arguing about it. Foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Stop arguing over stupid stuff. If you want to have a discussion about it, but don't part friends over it. Don't stop fellowship over it because you have a different understanding or doctrine. The Spirit says we're ever learning. The foolish women are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What does that mean? So I'm learning all this stuff and I'm missing it. I keep learning all this peripheral stuff and I'm missing it. I'm missing it. I don't want to miss it. Dr. Paul, come in.
The information is overwhelming. My lawyers pummeled me yesterday for 4 hours trying to see if I was a Tenpenny or a Dr. Northrup, and I knew all these details. And I told them, I says, it's just what I know to be the truth. It's intuitive. God, it's like you guys mentioned before, it's a living Bible. I don't understand, but I understand what you're saying here. And I just told him, I says, it's all about the truth. Just tell him the truth. I just know it's wrong. And yes. In medicine, I cannot believe that my colleagues are allowing this to happen. They just, in the material world, they'll never know the truth as long as they're hanging on.
It's 11 of the Pharisees, Paul, which is part of what I want to get into today as well. 11 of the Pharisees. Bernie, come on in.
Yeah, thanks, Coach. Just two things real quick. First thing is, the universe was created. Time, space, and matter. Time is part of creation. Okay, God exists outside of creation because he's the creator. So time is part of creation. So the other thing is that, you know, John Bunyan wrote a book. One of his books was it was kind of more autobiographical called Grace Abounding, Teeth of Sinners, where he really struggled with the fact, was I really elect or not? And you know, what's beautiful about that book is that that's something we all got to work through. We need to learn how to work the problem, not just know the answer. And
amen. Good point. That's right.
That's part of the thing. Stop giving people conclusions. Teach them how to work the problem and use the word of God.
Oh, man, is that ever it? That's why Jesus asked questions. Bernie, good point. He was teaching them to work the problem, wasn't he? He was saying, figure it out for yourself, dude. Huh? What do you need me to tell you this? Do a little research. Figure it out for yourself. Have you not heard? Have you not understood? Right? Huh? That's what he asked. Michelle.
Hey, good morning, team. Coach, what you're bringing up is some stuff I was just thinking about actually last night, because we worship the invisible God, the firstborn over all of creation. And it was through him that all things were formed. Through him, by him. Notice that all these things, they didn't come, the sons of God, the first cause, the initial singularity, those things were for him. He's the Alpha, he's the Omega. It was all made for Jesus, the apple of the Father's eye, basically. Paul makes some references to the thrones and dominions and principalities and powers. So we know that these terms indicate a huge, vast kingdom. There's many realms. There's, I don't really know all the purposes of these principalities, but this Christ-centric perspective is really what we need to inherit. This wasn't created for us. And we need to kind of figure out what we're supposed to be doing, not what we want to be doing. But I think that it's perfectly logical to think that non-human intelligent beings were here before us. It says so. And they're kind of, we can think of them as our older brothers if we want.
Amen. Okay.
He is the ruler of all.
He is. So let me, I promised Jeff Klein I'd let him get in here this morning and talk about a victory they had last night. But I'm lining you up. I'm going to show you that Jesus wasn't a pacifist. And listen, I don't mean guns and knives and shooting. That's not what I'm talking about. Jesus was an offense, God's offensive coordinator. That's what Jesus was. Go ahead, Jeff. What happened last night up in your area, bud?
Well, Coach, I called Coach last night at about 8 o'clock to let him know we got a victory. We're still needing more victories, but we got a victory in one of the schools last night. Basically, Fredericktown School Board voted in 3 new members. So, because they had a couple resign, they had some of them just shag out of there last month. So they got 3 voted in. 2 of them was a landslide. They're saying there's discrepancy on whether they can serve or not. They were not going to swear them in last night. 2 of them refused to swear these men in as new school board members. And it was prosecuting attorney in Knox County. He's even a Republican. He sided with them. The assistant attorney general of the state of Ohio was throwing some stuff out there that maybe they can't serve. So last month they had about 15 people at the school board meeting. It numbers dropped from 150 down to 15 over 2 or 3 months. So all of a sudden last night, with all this going on in the community, they put it back to the cafeteria. 160 people showed up to this meeting. These people were told. So they get up there, and we just witnessed Monday night, 2 new school board members swore in at Mount Vernon. So this week is Mount Vernon, Fredericktown, and East Knox. 3 school board meetings this week. Everybody in. So we get there last night expecting a big ruckus. We look up there, the school board's sitting there, and the 3 new guys are sitting up there at the table. We're like, what is going on? So that new superintendent also in the school, they have changed hands completely.
Superintendent resigned, and then got 3 brand new school board members because you guys have been there keeping the pressure on them. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, they have also the assistant secretary resigned last month. 2 school board members just were getting out of there. That's why the big change up. So we're looking up there. Now they got, here's the new superintendent, interim superintendent. He starts the meeting off. Now he seems like a good guy. He was there 10 years ago in that school. So now he's back and he's trying to save the day. He is trying to get something unity there. And everybody seemed to like him. 160 people seemed to like him. He's got a good
message. Who cares if they like you or not? Who cares? Do the right thing. Go ahead.
So all of a sudden they walk over to the 3 school board members and start swearing them in. And we're like, what is going on? Something changed. So they swear them in, and we're looking at each other like, are you kidding me? Everybody was shocked. Then as soon as they swore them in, one of them, the new guys, nominated the other guy for the new president. So they voted, and it was all of them. Yeah, the new guy's the president now.
So new guy on the school board is now the president of the school board, yes. Nominated by another new guy on the school board, right?
Yeah, that president nominated another new guy as his vice president. So the president and vice president got shoved down the row. They went over the to their seats.
The old ones are gone. The old ones are gone. And 2 new ones that just got on are now the president and vice president.
Yeah, they're still there, but they had to move down and put the new president and vice president in their seats. They got up, took their coats off the seats and moved down.
Yeah, amen.
New order. It was crazy. So now Jeff, I'm just asking, this morning, everybody, please pray for me at 8 o'clock. I got to leave early. I do have a meeting at 8 a.m. with the superintendent of Mount Vernon Schools. And then after this one, I'm going to request meetings with the other superintendents. I'm going to try and take in some truth this morning.
Amen. Jeff, folks, they're flipping things upside down. They're flipping over tables up there in Knox County. God bless you, Jeff. And Jeff's uncompromising. That encourages me. Bless you. Hey, listen, I want to get where I want to get. Heiser quote. Pull that up there. Heiser quote. Guys, I don't know if you guys know Dr. Michael Heiser, who, by the way, is fighting, I think it's liver cancer, fighting something pretty severe. Lord, don't take these guys. We need these guys. It's Dr. Michael Heiser. I think his book's The Unseen Realm. I could be the wrong one. I think so. The Unseen Realm. Oh, my goodness. If you guys haven't read that book. Well, anyway, I want to read something to you here real quickly. Because, again, the theme is Jesus a pacifist? Is Jesus a pacifist? And I want you to go down about 16:13 because I want to show you something here. And then I want to read a quote that from Michael Heiser here, okay? Okay, it says, when Jesus went to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am?" There he goes again, right? He's a question asker. He says, "What are they saying that me at the barbershop? What are they saying that me at the school more? What are they saying me in your local government? What are they saying about me in your church? Who do men say that I am?" Well, wow, they're all kind of shocked. They kind of look around. They, you know, because they've been hearing all the rumors, right? They've been, you know, they don't want to be talebearers, but they've been hearing what's going on. And then some who'd have been saying, and they said, "Well, Lord, some say you're John the Baptist. Why? Radical guy. Some say you're Elijah, prophet. Others say you're Jeremiah, one of the prophets." And Jesus stopped and says, "Dude, that ain't got nothing to do with nothing. Let me ask you something. Who do you say that I am?" Folks, you could stop right there, and the gospel will go no farther if you don't answer that question in your own life. Who do you say he is? Do you say he's some guy that bows his knee to Fauci? Is he somebody that bows his knee to Joe Biden? Is he some guy that's okay with adultery? Is it some guy that's okay with transgender women being in positions of government? Because listen, ultimately, it's a personal thing. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say I am? And Jesus said, and Jesus answered and said, whoa, I'm sorry. Verse 15, Peter the loudmouth, by the way, the first human being to know who Jesus Christ was, Peter the old loudmouth, the bold one, speaks up and said, "Well, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." And if it was possible, Jesus is blown back and says, "Whoa, blessed are you, Simon, for no man told you that. You got that as a revelation from my Father. That's what you did." And I'm going to tell you this. Well, stay with me. I'm going somewhere. And he said, "I say unto you that thou art Peter. And upon this rock, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Now stop a minute. Pronouns matter. Pronouns matter. "I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it." Against it? Is Peter an it? Peter isn't an it. Peter is a he or a she or a him or a her. "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Against what? Well, we better ask ourselves a very important question. Where are they staying? Where are they? Hang on, let me go on. And he says, "Because you're Peter, and the gates of hell aren't going to prevail against this church I'm building, Peter. We're going to storm these gates. Our offense is about to go into the field, Pete." He said, "I'm going to give you the playbook. I'm going to give you the playbook, keys of the kingdom. And whatever play you call on earth, we're going to run that play in heaven. And whatsoever play you don't run on earth, then we're not going to run it in heaven." Oh boy, it's co-laborers there. And then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. And from that time forth began Jesus show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things, elders and chief priests and scribes. He just told them, "We're going to storm the gates of hell, and I'm kicking off here." Then Peter took to him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from me, Lord. I'm not going to let this happen to you." And he turned to Peter and says, You get behind me, you little scumbag. "Get behind me, Satan, for you're an offense unto me. For you savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men." Okay, let me go back. Say, "Coach, what are you talking about?" Pull up the Michael Heiser quote. Folks, this is essential. Does anybody know what happened to Mount Hermon? Does anybody know Mount Hermon? Do you know what took place there? I can take you there. If you need me to, I'll take you there. But Mount Hermon was the very gates of hell. They believed back in those days that Mount Hermon was the place where the 200 fallen angels ascended and descended at Mount Hermon. That's where it happened, right? And so Jesus, when he goes up onto this hill, he doesn't just randomly walk up on a hill. He walks up on the top of Mount Hermon, or Hermon. He walks up the top of Mount Hermon, and what does he say? He says, "Boys, we're building us a church, and where are we going to build it? We're starting right here. Right here at the gates of hell." Here's what Michael Heiser says. The rock which Jesus referred to was neither Peter, nor himself, pardon me, nor the Pope, nor the Catholic Church. It was the rock on which they were standing. The foot of Mount Hermon. The demonic headquarters of the Old Testament. Folks, do you get this? Do you understand this is ground zero where Jesus reveals himself to Peter and to those as the Christ, the Son of the living God, that they're doing it at the gates of hell? They went right to their door.
Boom.
Oh, my goodness. The demonic headquarters of the Old Testament and the Greek world. Still believed to be so today. We often presume, Dr. Heiser said, that the phrase, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, describes a church taking on and fighting back against the onslaught of evil. But the word against is not present in the Greek. So translating the phrase without against, it gives it a completely different connotation. It would be this, the gates of hell will not withstand it. It is the church that Jesus sees as the aggressor. He was declaring war on evil and death, and Jesus would build his church right on top of hell.
Amen.
Amen.
And he would bury them. Amen. Boy, is that a different, huh? Is that what your 6-foot icicle has been teaching you guys? No. Was it just by happenstance that Jesus went to Mount Hermon? Is that really just by happenstance? And that while he's there, it's just by happenstance that Peter says you're the Christ and reveals the revelation, the first one that ever anybody ever had, that he was the Son of the living God. Peter says, I get it. And I don't want you to miss this. If you follow it, look what happened to Peter in the next several weeks leading up to it. The devil went after him full bore. Why? Because he had the revelation of who Jesus was. And now we have, wait a minute, let me back up here. Who do you say he is? We don't get past that question, do we? Who do you say he is? I don't know about you. I say he's Christ, Son of the living God. That's what I say. I say he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I say he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I say that there's not anything that happens in the world that he's not aware of. I think he's in control of everything. I think he's raised us up as his ambassadors passing through this fallen world. And our job is to what? To raise up, to build up, to pluck down, to tear down, to build, rebuild. That's what I think.
Amen, Coach.
And see, I get in trouble because why? Most of the guys standing in the pulpit, they don't even know who he is. They say, who is he? Oh, well, he's the savior of the world, Coach. He's the savior. Really? What does that mean? What's that look like? Okay, hang on with me. I'm not done yet. Stay with me a second. He's the savior of the world. Pull up for me. Great job, Hunter. You're always, or Spencer, you, whoever you are, man. You're all over. My computer froze up. Find Matthew 16 for me. No, stop that. My computer froze. Yes, I said, let's go. Where is it? Matthew, did you find it? Okay, no. No, that's not it. I want you to find Matthew 16. Yeah, 16. Matthew 16, Spence. Where is it? Yes. Oh, no, that's not what I want. Oh, trying to think on that. Somebody come in here real quick. No, don't do that because I'm myth. Matthew 16. And, oh, okay, I'm sorry. There it is. Revelation 19. I'm sorry. Revelation 19. I'm sorry. It's the very bottom. Next to the last one. All right, Revelation 19. By the way, the revealing of Jesus Christ. I'll show you again in my New Testament. Just so you can see and not think I'm lying. I'll hold up my Old Testament. You probably can't read it. But it's not the book of Revelation, and it certainly isn't the book of Revelations. Well, it says in Revelations, what is wrong with you folks? Can't you read? It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ to St. John, the revealing of Jesus Christ to St. John, not the book of Revelations. Coach, you know, it says in Revelations, no, it doesn't. Ain't even a book said that. It's the book of revelation of Jesus Christ to St. John. I say, Coach, why do you keep hammering? Because we say stupid stuff and we don't even realize we say stupid stuff. Okay, so I'm going to show you in the book of Revelations, the book of Revelations in Matthew 19, scroll down to about verse, 20 might be a good place to start. Because he's not a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. He's not a child lying in a manger. He's not a beaten savior hanging on a cross. He's not down in the grave. He's not there. He's not there anymore, folks. Go back up. Spencer, 13 maybe, 19. Okay, there we go. Go. 12, 10, 11. There we go. No, go down. There it is. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ to St. John. Folks, this is who it is. This is who we be today. This is who we be, all right? Oh, my goodness, Lord, help us get this. And I saw heaven opened. Behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he does come and spread love and tolerance and diversity to everybody he comes across. All right? Shows the love of Jesus by not judging and not being angry. And no. He's going to show up, and in righteousness, he's going to judge and make war. By the way, he's outside of time, so he's sitting there right now, ready to come. That's why the Bible says, behold, he comes quickly. Quickly, not soon, quickly. Boom. When it happens, dude, it's over. His eyes were as a flame of fire. I think the dude's ticked off, if you want my honest opinion. And on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And here I'm showing up. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon his white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Armies in heaven? I thought it'd be missionaries in heaven. The armies that were in heaven followed him upon white horses clothed. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he shall show the love of God to all the nations. No? No, that with that sword he should smite the nations. And that he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he's treading on the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. Folks, you have any idea how ticked off God is? Oh, my God. Oh, and he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's who's coming back, boys.
Woo, baby.
That's who's coming back. And in righteousness, he's judging and making war. Hey, listen. He came as a babe, and he died as the suffering Savior, but he ain't dead anymore. And if you think he's passive about everything that's going on in this country and everything that's going on in this world, dude, are you ever deceived? Come on in, Rochelle.
I just wanted to let you guys know that Michael Heiser, the quote that you were introducing there, is still doing podcast, and he just went through the book of Revelation.
The book of, you mean the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ to St. John, you mean?
That's right, Coach, because to me that entire Bible is a book of revelations. Okay.
But it's a book of revelation of who? Showing us Jesus. Showing us Jesus. Oh, man. Jerry, come in. Then Kevin.
Morning, Coach. Just before you brought up the scripture 19, I'm telling you, I already punched it up. 19:13. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. That's not his blood. No. He's a warrior.
All right. Since you said it, where is it? I've got so many things written down here today on my thing. Was Jesus a pacifist? No, where? Ah, This is a day. I don't know. God is a warrior. Click on that. God is a warrior. Click on God is a warrior. It's near the bottom, Spencer. Third from the bottom. God is a warrior. Folks, look at this. Relevant verses. 26 Bible verses about God as a warrior. Lord's a warrior. The Lord is his name. The Lord will go forth like a warrior. He will arouse his zeal like a man of war. He will utterly shout. He will raise a war cry. He will prevail against his enemies. 1 Samuel. Now this man will go from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh, two sons of Eli. But I don't know why I read that. Lord of hosts, you'll indeed forget. It goes on and on and on and on about Lord being a warrior. Child, Lord,
amen.
He's peace, Lord. Jesus is a man of peace. Now, no. He's a peacemaker, not a peacekeeper. He's going to come. He's going to make some war, and there's going to be peace that's going to follow it. Come on in, Kevin.
Coach, this is such an important teaching. Thank you so much for bringing this out today. You know, I mean, I know about the history of Mount Hermon. You and I have talked about that privately. And, you know, that's where the Watchers came down. That's literally where the gates of hell are.
And he went knocking on the door, man. Went knocking on the door.
Well, and the thing is, the Lord brought his disciples up there. And, Coach, I never put the two together. I mean, it should have been jumping off the page at me. And I never thought about it before. This is such an important teaching. Thank you so much for bringing this out today, brother.
That's the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Kevin. Roger.
Oh, but Dave, he's my best friend.
Yes, friend's sick, closer than a brother. And he does, right? Right now. Right now, at least.
He's my homeboy. We're like tight, man. He's the King of Kings. And when we see him in heaven, I think we're bowing.
Amen. Hey, Roger, have you ever seen somebody get mad when somebody mistreated their child? Can you imagine how he feels when they mistreated his boy, right? He says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. He's paying back, baby. He's paying back.
But he's my best friend. We get along and we talk a lot.
Yeah.
And we kind of look at life. No. King of Kings. Lord of Lords will be bowing in heaven when we see him.
The revelation of Jesus Christ to St. John. This is Jesus, folks. Right now, this is him. You're not a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Joe Allen.
You think Fauci knows of Mount Hermon? You think that they're coming after him and he's getting death threats?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
The sword will be coming down.
Right, because the Bible tells us that they're going to expose it all. The Bible tells us, folks, this is all going to be exposed. It's all going to be exposed. They're not going to get away with what they're doing. I didn't want to talk about shots. And I didn't want to talk about that all. I don't want to get caught up in this. Judgment's coming, baby. Judgment is coming on the wicked. I can promise you that. Craig, come on in.
You know, a neat thing about the Bible is not only what it says, but how it's laid out. So one neat thing about Mark doesn't mince words. He just jumps right into what happened here. In the first chapter, right out of the gate, Jesus comes and he casts out an unclean spirit. Now, this is what's interesting. This is what the unclean spirit says. Let us alone. What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? So they call him by something. All right. Then you go over here and that's in chapter one. Then you go to chapter three here in verse 31. And it talks about how unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, fell down before him and they cried out, "You are the Son of God." Now remember, this is before Mount Hermon. Okay, Jesus is right out the gate. Okay, they called him Nazareth. They've called him, "You're the Son of God." Then you go to chapter 5, and then it talks about the demon possessed man, how he puts this guy in the pigs, legion, and says, and this is what he says. It says, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" Three titles, three events. The demonic knows who he is. He's fighting against them. He's fighting for us. He's our Redeemer. He's our Savior.
Amen, Craig. Amen. Folks, I haven't read this. I've scanned this, but the Holy Spirit stopped me and told me to share this. Pull it up, Spencer, if you can. It is a standalone email that says Mount Hermon on it. Pull that one up there. Folks, I want to read down through this. We have to understand the significance of Mount Hermon. We have to understand, by the way, the Watchers, fallen angels, yada, yada, yada. Everything we're dealing with today. Long ago, Herbert R. Sim. I don't know who Herbert R. Sim is. I read some of this and it caught my attention today, okay? Hey, listen. This is one of those things. We throw it on the table. We chew it up. We spit it out or we swallow it. This is think radio, if there is such a thing. Long ago, 200 angelic beings descended upon Mount Hermon and things are never the same. Can you make that a little bit bigger, Spencer, so I can read it real quickly? And you guys can read along with me because there's nothing more boring than listening to somebody read unless it's silver. Before mankind was created by the word of God, he created the angelic realm, which were beyond numbers. When Lucifer led one third of the angels to war against God in heaven, God cast him and his angelic troops back to the earth. He's got the Bible references there. The major premise of Lucifer's ultimate goal was to ascend his throne above that of the highest, being the Father's. In other words, Lucifer said, I will ascend, right? I will be like God. Once mankind was created, he first deceived Eve along with Adam in the garden, and he became ruler of the world, all right? Well, the word of God places a curse on Lucifer and punishes Adam and Eve for being disobedient. Lucifer, in an attempt to circumvent God's curse, set out to corrupt God's bloodline. Still trying to do it! After Cain murdered Abel, God's bloodline continued to Adam's additional son, Seth. However, Lucifer has another plan and dispatched 200 of his fallen angels to a place on earth called what? Mount Hermon, in order to initiate phase two of his diabolical plan to corrupt the pure bloodline of man. Dudes, is that going on today? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Their major act was to cohabit with human females and create a race that would corrupt the bloodline that Jesus, the Savior, who was to come through the seed of man, eventually bruised the head of the serpent, Lucifer, the two seeds. The book of Enoch speaks of a group of fallen angels who rebelled against God and came down to earth and shared such ancient knowledge with the human race. And there were in all 200 fallen angels, a.k.a. also known as the Watchers. When's the last time you heard this in your Baptist church? Who descended in the days of Jared on the summit of Mount Hermon. And all the others together with him took unto themselves wives, and each chose for himself one, and they began to go unto them and to defile themselves with them, and they taught them charms and enchantments. Still going on today! And the cutting of roots and made them acquainted with plants, and they became pregnant. They bore great giants whose height was 3,000 ells, who consumed all the acquisitions of men. Stay with me. When men could no longer sustain them, the giants turned against them and devoured mankind. What? I didn't know that. No. Your Presbyterian pastor never told you that, did he? And Aziel taught men to make swords, knives, and shields, and breastplates. Made known to them the metals of the earth and the art of working them, bracelets and ornaments, and the use of antimony, and the beautifying of the eyelids and makeup, and all kinds of costly stones and of two coloring tinctures. And there arose much godlessness, and they committed fornication. They have led astray and become corrupt in all their ways. Simjaza taught enchantments, root cuttings, Armeros, the resolving of enchantments. Barakajai taught astrology. Kokobel, the constellations. Ezekiel, the knowledge of the clouds. Araziel, the signs of the earth. Shem, you saw the signs of the sun. And Serial, the course of the moon. Enoch 6, not supposed to read Enoch though, right? Don't want to read that. According to this book, 200 fallen angels descended from the heavenly realm onto the summit of Mount Hermon, where Jesus shows up with his disciples. And they were so smitten by the beauty of the human women that they took the form of a human and had sex with him. Oh, folks, we do know this, don't we? That even today, angels can take the form of... Doesn't the Bible said that we have attended angels unaware? That angels can somehow take the form of men? Wow. Because of their sin, a race of half-angelic, half-human species sprang up, Genesis 4, in the land, in a race known as the Nephilim Giants. This is another article altogether. Stay tuned on my blog. My theory is that if angels originated in form, in original form is dragon, or specifically fallen angels, origin form is dragon. Dragons have been drawn, spoken of, on ancient texts engraved on the walls of caves from different regions from across the world, where people during that time period had no advanced means of travel. They didn't have any airplanes to take the idea of a dragon from South America to Europe. But yet dragons showed up on the rocks in South America and Europe. In Fallen Angel, the AK demons are usually drawn as human forms with horns on their heads with a tail, that of a serpent or dragon. What if that was their half-human, half-dragon form? What if these fallen angels, whom in the full form was dragon, were able to make the form of full human and mate with humans, thus creating the Nephilim? Which brings me to illustrate the 200 angelic beings, dragons, who descended upon Mount Hermon, and the earth was never the same again. And Jesus shows up at Mount Hermon, and what does he say? Peter says, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, "Dude, you got it. And right here, we're going to build a church in the gates of hell. Right where we're standing, they got no chance." Golly. Good morning, Randy. I don't know about you guys. This hits me so deep.
Blew the cover off of a lot of things, Coach. Boy, now we can, everybody can dig in and start finding out some truth. This is good. Coach, God's plan didn't start when the watchers went down and fell. It didn't start then. That was part of the plan. His plan was from the beginning, Coach. So when you read that into context, you realize that this Luciferian covenant that preceded all everything, that's why
still going on today, Randy. Still going on today.
Coach, yes, sir. It has to play out. See, the Adamic covenant came in. It was another covenant. It came in, but the Luciferian covenant is from the way back, Coach. We have to understand we're in that. So what's God's doing? He's luring Lucifer, the old serpent, the old dragon. All this is over time. It's all going to come to an end, and it's on God's timetable. We're in that timetable, and we have to let it play out, Coach. It isn't new. This isn't new. This is good.
How many of you raise your hand? You don't have to raise your hand. How many of you never heard this? Never heard a teaching on this ever in your life? Come on in, Kevin.
Coach, can you send over that picture that I just sent you? I think people need to see this place. That's an impressive mountain. That's something. I'd never really looked at that mountain before. I'm looking at it. That's no small mountain. And it's pretty cool looking. That's where it all happened. I think the folks need to see it.
I don't know if I can get it to them or not, Kevin. Let's see what's here. Come on in, Craig.
Well, you know who sits on top of that mountain right now? That's
Talk
the
to
UN
me.
Base. That's the United Nations base camp, right where it happened. So here, let me ask you a question, Coach. Psalm 2, why do the nations rage?
Heathen rage, yeah, and the nation,
okay.
Yeah.
What was it, World Health Organization? Didn't they have something to do with a pandemic? Who owns the climate, the commission, the czar, that's going to tell us what we can do, how much fuel we can burn because of global warming, okay? Mm. Who's UNESCO who tells and holds these historic sites that owns them, okay? Boy. The United Nations sits on top of the very thing you're talking about.
The kings
about.
Of this world. The kings
and it's
of
not the United Nations. It's the United Watchers. That's
Spencer,
your breadcrumb. That's your breadcrumb.
Thank you, man. I just sent you the video, the picture, Spencer. Craig, amen, brother. Amen. Are they talking? Do you ever hear this in your church? No, we don't even believe in that. There's Mount Hermon. There it is. Pretty big mountain. Someplace right up there, Jesus went up to the top of that thing, man. That's where he's talking to Peter. He was up to him. He said, "Let's go up there, boys. Let's go up to the devil's home. Let's go up and knock on the devil's door and announce we're here. Let the games begin." Come on in, Rochelle and Dale.
Hey, Craig, great job bringing up the significance of Israel over there. I wanted to say that no, beware, guys. Do not be deceived because, you know, regarding this, the article by Mr. Sim, I saw all that on Ancient Aliens. So I'm pretty sure that they are going to take these, our 200 watchers that are down here breeding with people. Yeah. Yeah. They just have, it's all a part of Ancient Aliens. They just take it, sprinkle it with some deception, and then
They'll tell us it's UFOs. It'll be UFOs.
That's right. That's right. Thank you, Coach.
Amen. Dale, come in.
Well, brother, this I have preached on this, brother. This has been a great topic we've discussed before. Remember, this name is changed, Caesarea Philippi, Mount Hermon. It's also the valley, the area of Topheth and Ben-Hinnom, where what? This is where the sons and daughters were offered up and passed through the fire unto Molech. Isn't it an amazing thing? This is where God has called the church, the pits, the gates of hell, where little baby boys and girls are being slaughtered and the church is not showing up.
No. So Jesus, why did he go up on the high place? I believe he went up on the high place so everybody could see him. Now, we know not everybody could see him, right? We get that, right? But look, hey, he didn't go in some cave. He didn't retreat in some cave and do a secret battle plan. He went right up to the top of that hill and he gathered all these boys around him. He says, hey, what are they all saying about me out there? What are they all saying? Oh, they're saying all kinds of amazing things about you, Lord. And he said, that's all good. Boy, what do you think? What do you think? Who do you think I am? And Peter, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, says, man, you're the Christ. He says, dude, you're the man, dude. And me and you, we're going to build a church right here, and we're going to kick their tail right here. That's what we're going to do. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers, evil spirits and high places. But the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they are mighty through God to pulling down these strongholds. And these strongholds are school boards where people are being, possessed by the enemy, or at least the thoughts of the enemy. And they're the ones who are in control and in control of your children. And he said, you guys need to know better because you're to take captive every thought that is different from the world. You're supposed to take captive. If there's a thought comes in that's not of the Lord, you're supposed to take captive that thought and say, hey, that's not of the Lord. That doesn't fly here. Transgenderism, it doesn't fly here. Homosexuality, it don't fly here. Why? Because you have the mind of Christ. And because we have the mind of Christ, and we've been taught in our churches that the mind of Christ is personal, it's personal salvation, personal revelation, personal life, personal Savior. We missed out on the whole war that's going on around us. When he called us to huddle up with him at the top of Mount Hermon, says, let's go, man. Let's go right here. We're building a church. Let's go get him. We're going to storm, folks. We're going to storm the gates of hell. Because why? God's team is on the offense, not the defense. Can't you see it? Why can't we see it? We are in a fall back and save the equipment mode. Oh, my goodness, Jesus, hurry up and come. Oh, the devil's with. Is it yes or no? Yes or no? That's where we find ourselves. Michelle, your hand's still up. Come on.
Thanks, Coach. Sorry, I forgot to say this because your topic today about Jesus, and one of the things that keeps coming to my mind is he stood up for so many people, but women too. And that was kind of uncalled for in that culture. You know, think of the times where why are you letting her put perfume on you? Or, yeah. There was just several times that come to mind that he didn't back down. He always stood for what was right. And he always said what was the truth.
They didn't crucify him because he was loving and caring and everybody was happy to have him around. Go ahead, Randy.
Coach, put up Psalm 68, 15 and 16.
And just Psalm 68.
15 read verse 15 and 16, Coach. This is what God desires. Now look at this. This will set this whole thing off.
The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan, and high hill as the hill of Bashan.
That's Hermon. He's talking about Hermon.
I get it. Why leap ye, ye high hills? This is the hill which God desires to dwell in. Yeah. The Lord will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20. Wow. That's it, man. So the significance, with your pastor who told you that the rock was the revelation in your heart of who Jesus was, that's a lie. That is a lie. And the guy who told you that Peter was the first pope and that now we're supposed to follow the pope, whoever told you that, is lying to you. Play quickly.
When we get out of a canonized scripture, some people get fear, Coach, and anxiety. So I just want to tell people that's listening to this, it's okay to have this discussion. It's healthy. Don't be fearful of this topic. I'm thankful that we got this. Thank you, Coach.
Amen. And listen, you can go ask your pastor if you want to, but he doesn't believe in it, or he would have already been talking to you about it. So he's going to double talk you. He's going to double talk you on it. Now, here's what you can do. You can trust him, or you can do what? Well, you can verify, can't you? You can trust but verify. You can do some. You're allowed to actually do some of your own research outside of your own church. Yeah, you really are. You really are. You don't have to fall online and just believe everything your pastor believes. That's how we got in this mess. Man, this is good. We need more of this. We'll give you more tomorrow. God bless you. See you then.